Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With the 10th pick, the Minnesota Vikings select
J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy is inevitably the guy.
I think this is the best quarterback that has been drafted in the top 10 and 2 in 30 years.
It's an absolute blessing to be part of this great organization. You know, it's just a perfect fit for me.
You know, I just can't thank them enough for having faith in me and believing in me. And I promise I won't prove them wrong. I'm going to prove them right.
Yeah, the Vikings had one of the better drafts in the NFL. Welcome to NFL Live. Dan Orlovsky's here. Marcus Spears, Andrew Hoggins. For some reason,
just ate?
Dan's getting it. Yeah, you are.
What did you just eat, Boogie?
But what's in your mouth? There's like a mint or something.
I had some egg whites with grilled chicken.
That's why it smells really bad in here.
Clean your damn teeth out before we come on TV, man.
Hey,
get all that done before we show up, bro.
I wish you would.
I don't want to have nasty breath,
bro. Here as well. We're going to get to some news later, but we begin in Minnesota. J.J. McCarthy will be throwing to the most productive wide receiver through four seasons in NFL history. That's Justin Jefferson. He has the most receiving yards all time through this point in his career, despite playing fewer games than Michael Thomas and Randy Moss. Jefferson entering his final season of his rookie contract and is looking for a long-term deal. So let's get to that with Jeff Darlington. And we got to get to more on this wide receiver. Jeff, what is the latest on the contract extension talks between the Vikings and Jefferson?
Well, we actually have to get more to whatever is going on with Dan because that's just unbelievably repulsive. And
But we can figure out what's going on. We can try to move forward here.
Repulsive might have been a tough word. I'm sorry. All right, Dan. Anyway, listen, let's talk Justin Jefferson and the contract situation currently facing the Vikings. They have made very clear all along that they want to make sure that Justin Jefferson goes nowhere. They're not entertaining any kind of trade talks. They have been very clear they're going to get this done. Now, we can keep in mind, of course, that we do have seen two other wide receivers get monster deals in the last couple of weeks. Amon-Ra St. Brown setting a new market with becoming the highest paid wide receiver in the league. A mark, though, that will be shattered by Justin Jefferson whenever he gets this deal done. Again, the Vikings making it very clear that this is a priority, and they do anticipate it happening sometime this summer.
Yeah, Jeff, we're not done with the Vikings. We've got more to get to there. The first-round pick, J.J. McCarthy, recently talked about the idea of playing with Jefferson in Minnesota. Here's what he said.
Surreal, honestly. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, you know, Aaron Jones, the big boys, Christian Darrisaw, Brian O'Neill, I just met him earlier, you know, Garrett Bradbury, all great pieces. You know, there's so many more that I could sit up here and just list all of them. But, you know, a lot of great pieces that make this organization what it is. And, you know, Justin is just a key part of that. And, you know, he already let me know I go by Jets, so we don't get any confusion there. It'll be great to get that connection going with all the guys, and he's definitely a key piece to that.
I go by Jets. You know, one of the things we wondered, Dan, is how could they do something with the quarterback position to make sure that Justin Jefferson knew who that was going to be and maybe help that process. You think it moves it along positively for Jefferson in getting that deal done?
It absolutely gives them a chance now. I mean, there was no shot that he was going to sign until he knew at least the name of the guy for the future, and now that it's J.J. McCarthy, it gives them the chance. The number is going to be absolutely outrageous. But if you're Minnesota, you were trying to get this done as quickly as possible. You also want to see how well this group or this duo looks on the field relatively quickly, because if there's that instant connection, I do think it helps you. Listen, Justin Jefferson was going to get paid a ton of money no matter what team was going to pay him. I think this now at least puts Minnesota at the top of the team that is likely to get that done.
D.O., that's the point, right? The urgency in which Justin wants to get this signed and how it plays out. You said the most important thing. We'll figure out the rapport and we'll figure out how well these guys work together and his confidence level in what he sees from J.J. McCarthy. look, the elephant in the room is that this deal is about money, right? There's a number that Minnesota can probably put on the table, and irregardless of who the damn quarterback is, it's more than your eyes ever seen, and you're going to go ahead and sign the deal if it's all in your favor. But this definitely helps move that along. And if there was any hesitation or pause, Justin Jefferson now has another opportunity to evaluate where the Minnesota Vikings are and how they're going to move forward at the most important position.
All right, so we're not hearing Hawk, unless I'm wrong. Are you guys hearing
him? Turn your mic on. Turn your mic on, Hawk.
We're going to get Hawk's mic going. But, Jeff, you were there when
the pick happened.
That's
what you get
happened.
For trying to look all damn cute.
Yeah, right? You're spending too
that's
much time in
that mirror.
That's
what you get for looking all cute today.
He's like, when I look this good, you don't have to hear me. But we do want to hear what Hawk has to say. So we're going to go back to Jeff, who was there when the pick happened. What have you heard about the plan for McCarthy, specifically in Minnesota, Jeff?
Well, I was really impressed just hearing from Kevin O'Connell immediately after JJ was drafted. And he came into the room and he started outlining and detailing this day-to-day plan that was going to start essentially immediately. Now, obviously, the NFLPA and the NFL have rules about how much time the coach and the player can spend together. But this is still a scenario where Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCown, the quarterback's coach, very clearly understand that they got a very solid prospect, but one that requires the utmost development if they're going to get him ready to be the week one starter, something that I know that they aspire to do.
Yeah, so one, Josh McCown coming immediately from Carolina, who started Bryce Young early last year. I wonder if that impacts the decision at all when it comes to his perspective of it. Now, wildly different situations, but it is worth knowing that, okay, if Sam Darnold has to be the guy in September, then maybe this isn't something that gets just thrust it upon J.J. McCarthy, although I think he's going to be capable of it, too. And Mina touched on this a little bit during the draft week. It'll be really interesting to see how comfortable J.J. McCarthy gets throwing to a covered person. You know, J.J. in many ways was risk-averse at Michigan. That was the identity of the football team. Don't give it away. Don't turn it over. Very rarely put the ball in harm's way. You'll never be high-end. You'll never be really good or great in the NFL unless you are willing to put intelligently and in a calculated way the ball at harm's way, specifically when you're thrown to a guy in Justin Jefferson that seems to always come down with the football in those opportunity one-on-one type of moments.
Yeah, and if Hawk, who we have back now, if you're Justin Jefferson, you obviously want the ball, but I think there's such a comfort level there for a rookie quarterback in knowing you've got a target who can bail you out in a big way, right?
Absolutely. J.J. Jefferson is a part of the J.J. McCarthy development plan, as is this offense that is very much a run offense, but you pick your throws in the way that Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan run it, as well as J.J. Jefferson. You're not going to get the most out of McCarthy unless you have Justin on the outside. So to Dan's point, to Marcus's point, you need to sign J.J. probably quicker than you need to sign the quarterback J.J. because that price is only going up, and he doesn't care about what the other receivers have gotten. Yeah. He is not compared to them. He's comparing himself to Bosa, the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. That's where Justin Jefferson sees himself.
I got a question for Dan. Boogie, D.O., J.J. walking into this situation, you highlighted during draft coverage how good of a situation it is for a top 10 quarterback to walk in. What needs to happen confidence-wise from Kevin O'Connell and this staff with J.J. McCarthy from now leading up until they get out of training camp, for them to feel really good about putting a young player in this position? Obviously, we know Sam is there and Kirk being out of the building.
Yeah, fella, I think everything has to do with what happens pre-snap for him. You know, what happens with the personnels, because they use different personnels on a consistent basis. What happens with the formations? Because in this offense, one formation can become eight different formations off of one word. Hawk knows that. And then the motions and the shifts and the identifications. A lot of this offense post-snap is built to allow the quarterback to play fast and not overthink. But there's a lot of it pre-snap when it comes to the moving parts that are paramount for the play to actually get started. So I think the operation, can they operate at that? Because here's the thing, fella. A great play caller doesn't get to be a great play caller if they have to minimize all the cool stuff pre-snap that they can do with the personnel, the motions, the shifts to gain those advantages.
Yeah.
So can he handle and execute all of that pre-snap, I think, is the biggest hurdle.
Yeah, it is something, though, that he's done pretty well at times when it comes to the mentality. So it does make sense why they picked him. And it was historic. McCarthy is the first quarterback the Vikings drafted in the top 10 overall in team history.
Kind
of crazy
deal.
To think about that. He was one of six quarterbacks who went in the first round, tied with 1983 for the most in draft history. They were all taken in the top 12 picks, the fewest ever for six quarterbacks to go off the board. And the NFC North was the only division to end up with two of those quarterbacks. McCarthy to the Vikings, and then the top pick, Caleb Williams in Chicago. Dan, what should we expect to see from those two rookie quarterbacks in year one in the NFC North?
Yeah, there's two reasons why I love both places that each of them went. And Marcus just asked the question, what's the biggest thing? So I talked about the personnels, the formations, the motions, the shifts, and the identifications. Okay, this is what I want everyone at home to pay attention to. Obviously, the quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, but that off-ball linebacker and then that safety. Here comes that personnel motion and shift that you got to pay attention to. He's going to bring this tight end down in motion. Now, as he does that, J.J. is paying attention to what's going on here. He wants to see this linebacker and that safety, because what's going to happen is this safety is going to start to what we do call creep down, because that guy is going to be a blitzer. It's called being capped. Now, J.J. gathers that information and goes, hang on, I'm paying attention to what the defense is doing. What he wants to have is his offensive line go all the way out to that linebacker and replace that safety and pick up the protection. You're going to get that communication. You see the center point out. That backer is going to pressure. Here comes the ball fake. It's going to be one of those play action passing concepts. Now, that's the identification of this offense. Now, here's why being able to handle all this stuff matters for J.J. McCarthy. You saw that this backer is going to pressure. Now, the concept is going to be, we want to run double posts on this side. The defense is going to be what we call three carry. It's really a zone, but because that pressure, they are going to carry on this side anything vertical. We are basically going to vacate that side of the field as an offense. Now, when you have that and you know what's going on with the defense, what's going to happen is you have Roman Wilson on this crossing route, okay? The only person left, because remember that defense is going to get lifted, is that linebacker. J.J. McCarthy knows once that receiver basically gets behind that linebacker, I'm going to cut that football loose to throw with anticipation. Ball comes out right now to Roman Wilson in that vacated space, all because of that identification that J.J. McCarthy did. Now, Caleb Williams, Shane Waldron comes over as his offensive coordinator. The play action pass game to attack the middle of the field, Geno Smith, second in the NFL in QBR with play action passing over the middle of the field. Now, what you're going to do is you have this receiver run a go route, a quick out route, and then this tight end replaces. Ball gets snapped, and Caleb's going to see that this safety plays over the top, and that corner's squatting right here. Now, there's that play action pass. I just told you guys, Waldron wants to go play action and work the middle of the field. Now, when you're Caleb, this is something that I love about Caleb, is that safety goes over the top, you really want to throw that out route right now, unless this corner has got some kind of vision back inside. Remember, that safety played over the top, corner has vision. These two guys are dead, okay? The third option has to be this tight end getting behind that linebacker, which that play action fake holds. Now, here's the thing. When you're a play action passing offense, you want to throw over the middle of the field, you got to have quarterback be able to throw different kinds of throws. You can see Bertrand, number 27, right there. He is in the passing lane. If you throw this ball head high, it's an interception. Look at the type of touch that Caleb puts on that football to get right up over that leaping linebacker to that tight end on that crosser. So I think you're going to see a lot of that pre-snap stuff that J.J. McCarthy is capable of handling in that play-action pass crosser game. And then I think with Caleb, under Shane Waldron, I do think you're going to see a little bit more of that play-action game to work the middle of the field, because he's able to layer throws over those underneath defenders.
Dan, I think the season is like 4 months or so away. This just made me so excited to see these guys.
They're both really, really good players in great places. Absolutely.
It's
going to
be awesome. The NFC North, what a force to be reckoned with already last season. Now they had two top 10 quarterbacks. We're just getting started on NFL Live. Don't go anywhere. Free agency and the draft have come and gone for Dallas. Hear what Marcus thinks about the state of the Cowboys roster. Is Swagoo pleased? Does he think there needs to be more? We'll tell you. Plus, the Commanders hope they found their franchise quarterback in Jaden Daniels. But is there enough talent around him to compete this year in the NFC East? Dan tells us why Daniels gives Washington a chance to win now. NFL Live is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss, streaming April 30th. That's today, only on Hulu. We'll be right back.
30th, tomorrow, May.
Hi, Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're back on NFL Live. Time for some top stories with Jeff Darlington. Starting with some news, Jeff, out of Jacksonville.
That's right. Zay Jones has been released just a week, really, less than a week, after the Jaguars spent a first-round pick to essentially replace him. Now, we thought at one point when Calvin Ridley left the team that Zay Jones might be safe with the Jaguars' wide receiver room, but ultimately, once the Jags decided to make that move in the draft, he is the odd man out. So the wide receiver room really receiving a major retool in Jacksonville. And speaking of Jacksonville, you see some notable fifth-year options exercised here. Teams have until Thursday to exercise those 2021 first-round picks. Some big names on this list, headlined, of course, by Trevor Lawrence. But check out the Dolphins with two different players in Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips, both getting their fifth-year deals exercised. So a couple other names on there, including Micah Parsons, a guy that we're still waiting to see if a long-term deal will get done there. Ezekiel Elliott with his reunion with the Dallas Cowboys joining the team after really a lot of overtures between the two sides. Zeke for quite a while now wanting to find his way back to Dallas. He has not been shy about that at all. Adam Schefter originally reporting the one-year deal worth up to $3 million to return to the Cowboys. Again, not top-tier money, really not even backup money when you consider Ezekiel Elliott's resume, but it was very clear to him and to the team that he wanted back in Dallas. Perhaps maybe he can finish his career where he started it.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, it feels like a nice reunion for a variety of reasons. Swaggo, you think Zeke in that reunion is enough for this Dallas run game to improve after last season?
I see him improving in the area of the red zone, red area, and that's where we talked about last year, a number of weeks with them not having that bell cow. Like, Zeke has been that physical, powerful runner that can consistently get you in the end zone when you get close to goal line or in the red area. And that's really been his calling card. Listen, he's not the same back, and we all obviously know that. But the beauty of this position and the reason why sometimes it's so hard for the really good guys to get paid is because you do it by committee. You have specialists and those type of backs that complement each other. When him and Tony Pollard were playing well together, it was a great compliment, taking pressure off of each other. So a physical, powerful back, which we know Zeke to be. They had a problem in that area last year from an offensive standpoint, and bringing some of that physicality back when you get close to the goal line is very important if this team is going to have any success offensively moving forward.
I'm with you, Swaggoo. I think it's a by-committee thing. No, Zeke Elliott is not in and of himself going to make the run game an improvement. But when you take that with Rico, who they signed back, and he had his flashes even when Tony Pollard was there, and what they did in the draft. I like the fact that they didn't reach for a running back in the draft. They sat at their position and they beefed up their offensive line, because I don't care who you bring in to run the football. If your offensive line isn't solidified, there's no way you could be successful. They went and got a tackle and got in. They 100%. Went and got BB that could play guard, likely play center, and that is what's going to improve their line. And then with whatever you get out of Ezekiel Elliott is icing on the cake.
Don't care. When does CeeDee Lamb come back? I can make the case. There is not a receiver in the NFL who has more leverage than CeeDee Lamb right now. And that's out of respect to Justin Jefferson. Without CeeDee Lamb, all they have left is Brandon Cooks. That's it. So we're talking about an offense that in a situation where everything is on the line for head coach, quarterback, the future, there is not a wide receiver in this league that has more leverage right now than CeeDee Lamb. They have to get a deal done with him or they could be looking at a significant holdout and then this offense goes absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, a reminder, he didn't attend the start of voluntary offseason workouts earlier this month. That's why Dan is saying when he comes back. And another thing to add to his leverage, CeeDee Lamb set the Cowboys single season record for catches and receiving yards in 2023. He said, I want a new deal and I'm going to show you why I deserve it. Let's stay in the NFC East where the Commanders offense had a major overhaul this offseason. The biggest addition, number two pick Jaden Daniels, who will have running back Austin Eckler in the backfield after he signed a 2-year deal. Washington also drafted wide receiver Luke McCaffrey in the third round. He's going to likely play in the slot, right? Dan, do you see this Washington team as you look at the roster and how it all shakes out, taking a big step forward with Daniels playing in new offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury's offense
too? Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury's flaw in Arizona was there wasn't enough of true progression-based pass concepts that were relative to the NFL. Jaden thrives in them. So I think for that marriage to be ideal, Cliff is going to have to adapt some of that and pull from that LSU offense. So that's one of the things that I thought Daniels did a great job of. This goes back to the end of the Missouri game and just the handling of the situation. One, you're going to get the motion to the bunch. This is a traditional progression-based pass concept. He's going to look 1 to 2 to 3 at the bottom of the screen. The right defensive end is going to give him pressure. Now, this is Kyler Murray-esque for Cliff Kingsbury. The ability to handle third down and long, get out of trouble, and go make a play. Now, this is the progression-based pass concept. One tight end up top, four pass catching options down at the bottom. Motion that receiver out. You're trying to create surface levels, okay? Now you're telling your quarterback, let's start front side up top. As he's peeking into the boundary to the go in the seam, well, that safety is going to get brought to the bad people. So he's going to reset to over the football. That's number two. Now as he sees that safety flow and number two gets squatted on, well, then number three is that replacing seam that the ball has to come out on time. In the NFL, you are playing from a muddy, dirty pocket, and you are going to get hit. Bang. There's 15, 20 examples of a play that looks like that. So I think that's the challenge for Cliff is, you know, adapting that to their offense. And I think the biggest question for this offense is going to be, if Jaden Daniels is their starter, and I expect him to be, do they believe in their left tackle who they took in the third round, Brandon Coleman, to play left tackle? It's really difficult in this league to start a left tackle that's a rookie, let alone a third rounder, and then a rookie quarterback. So I think that's going to be, at least personnel-wise, the big question, at least step one when it comes to people on the field.
Yes or no, Daniels himself give them a major chance to win, just the quarterback doing extra, even outside of scheme, that type of thing?
I think so. If Coleman's a decent left tackle and Sennett, the tight end that they took out of Kansas State, can play a little bit, I think the young man is talented enough to get this team to play meaningful games in November and December.
A little longer than yes or no, but I'll take it. Coming up on NFL Live, the Raiders were not able to land a quarterback in the draft. I know, sorry. So can they compete for a playoff spot with Gardner Minshew at quarterback? Marcus will tell us why he has confidence in Vegas next. They did get a lot of good players. What happens in Vegas maybe is a good thing. We'll be right back.
Whoa.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Got my name high, shining in a building, in a wave high. Y'all know what the deal is. When it's game time, I'ma break this. chilling till they know the name, till they know the name, till they know the name.
Kelce over the shoulder. He's got the catch. He's got the touchdown.
That's all I know how to do is attack the day.
Todd Kelce, a brilliant catch and run by the best tight end in the league.
They gon' know the name. They gon' know the name. They gon' know my name.
Hey, guys. Travis Kelce got paid. Two-year, $34.25 million deal that includes $17 million fully guaranteed this year, this coming year, according to our Adam Schefter. The Chiefs tweeted, quote, "We signed the greatest tight end ever to a new contract." Here's GM Brett Veach.
The odds of someone playing this far into the 30s are very low, but it does happen, and it happens with just, you know, unicorns in the profession, and Travis is one of those, and we'll certainly celebrate this with him, and hopefully we can ride this thing even longer. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I've shown no signs of slowing down. Everyone, you know, notices the kind of postseason he had, and he just found that extra gear. And you know, these special ones, these special players are always able to find, you know, that extra gear. And again, I mean, if anybody could do it, Travis can.
High praise for the recently paid star tight end from the Kansas City GM. For more on the defending champs, let's dive into some AFC West quick reads, starting with Swagoo. You like what the Chiefs did in the draft, Swag?
Yes, I love them going out and getting Xavier Worthy. And this, he's talented and he's fast, and everybody gets enamored with the 40 speed. But think about this kid in Andy Reid's system and the way he's able to scheme guys open and scheme space. I've watched Dan talk about this offense and how you can get guys going that we didn't know they had certain things in their toolbox because they're in this particular offense. And I'm going to build a sign that say, "Let me hold something outside of Kansas City facility."
He might actually do that. All right, let's go to the Chargers as we continue on with what they did. Excuse me, the Raiders, actually. Nope, go ahead. Go ahead, Hawk. Talk about the Chargers.
We're going to talk about the Chargers, Laura, and I love what the Chargers did in the draft. They went and got Joe Alt, who, in my opinion, may be the most pro-ready prospect coming into the draft. You got to protect Justin Herbert. We know that. You know it's important to Harbaugh to beef up the trenches. But I love also what they did in the second round with Ladd McConkey, because when you watch him play, we know that they lost a lot at the receiver position. And what they lost in Keenan Allen, it's not going to be to that level. But McConkey does fill some of that void. He is a pure route runner, probably one of the best that came into the draft. He is quick. He has a great understanding. Be on page with the quarterback. I think they're going to get a lot more value than Chargers fans suspect out of that second round pick out of Georgia.
Yeah, so the Denver Broncos at 12 draft Bo Nix. And then in the fourth round, they draft a wide receiver in Troy Franklin that many people thought was going to be a potential second-round pick. We've seen some quarterback wide receivers duos that went from college and have relative early success in the NFL. Tua and Jalen Waddle, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. I understand Franklin not nearly as high of a draft pick as those two wide receivers. But if he could go and have some type of impact that they did as a rookie, Bo Nix can hit the ground running early in his career in Denver.
And that felt purposeful for sure. Okay, now to the Raiders. They didn't draft a quarterback last week. We wondered if they would. Vegas used its first round pick on tight end Brock Bowers, taking him 13th overall. Remember that Michael Penix Jr. was already off the board. He joins other offseason additions like Gardner Minshew and Alexander Mattison. And the Raiders are also signing Michael Gallup to a one-year deal to add even more receiver depth. Jeff, what more can you add about the Raiders adding Gallup to the roster?
Well, it's interesting only because of what you just said. This is a team already stacked at the wide receiver position. It feels like their depth chart is pretty much complete, and they really have three pass-catching tight ends as well. So Michael Gallup, nonetheless, signing a one-year deal worth $3 million to see if he can perhaps reignite a career that kind of never got off the ground in Dallas. I mean, he had his obvious moments, especially against Green Bay this past January. But generally speaking, ever since he tore his ACL, he has not been the same. We'll see if maybe he can reignite that flame now in Las Vegas.
Hey, you know, I think it's important to remember that it was a bit of a surprise, Dan, that Michael Penix Jr. went at 8th overall to the Falcons, because you got to wonder if he was still on the board if Vegas would have taken him. But either way, how confident are we in the Raiders this year after missing out on a quarterback in the draft?
About as confident as Hawk is on his Instagram filter that he's using on screen right now.
It's pretty,
your
man.
Skin looks amazing.
We need
it,
that
it looks
in
absolutely
studio.
Spectacular.
It's not fair.
I don't get
he
it.
He got one of the movie cameras.
It's like an avatar.
He don't look that good. He got one of the movie
like
cameras.
He looks like AI, honestly. It doesn't look
you
that
look
good.
Fake. You look
oh,
like
stop.
A
esthetician, huh?
Hawk
My
said, oh,
goodness,
stop.
Man.
But keep it coming.
Listen, He does. I'm going to keep promise to myself. I think the Raiders have a really good young, active defense and a quarterback that thrives in 12 personnel. Plays above, I guess, the expectation in 12 personnel. They have Michael Mayer from last year's second round out of Notre Dame. They take Brock Bowers out of Georgia this year. And we're just talking about the performance of the quarterback. We know Davante Adams is going to be a big-time playmaker, but Gardner Minshew in anything but 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, is a relatively average quarterback. In 12 personnel, again, with two tight ends on the field, he's a pretty darn good quarterback. Eight touchdowns, two picks. 66% completion percentage. Yeah. So I just expect the Raiders, and they've got the people to do it. Those two tight ends, Devontae, I think that they've got the really good pieces to play the ideal situational football that Gardner Minshew seems to be comfortable in.
I love the pieces, to Dan's point. I think that they are stacked from a pass-catching perspective. We know what they have at receiver. I think Brock Bowers becomes your number two receiver in this offense. My question isn't around O'Connell. It's not around Gardner Minshew. It's around Luke Getsy. From what we've seen of him last year in the Chicago Bears, knowing that the quarterback play, like when you look around the division, they're at best three, maybe even four. Is the play caller going to be enough to get what you need out of this offense? And that's where my questions and concerns come from, because early on last season, when he was with Chicago, we routinely, week in and week out, questioned that very thing. And I would argue this situation is no better at the quarterback position than it was last year. It may even be worse than Justin Fields and what he provided for Chicago.
Yeah, Hawk, I thought about that as well, but I'm with Dan. I focused more on Garner, and you think about this particular situation, because a lot of the talk we had pre-draft was the fact that this team could potentially get Michael Penix. That was a name that kept coming up with the Las Vegas Raiders. Gardner Minshew played really good at moments last year, and he understands how to use big receivers. And that's something that I know sounds very general, but that's what he had success with last year with Pittman. And you think about walking into this situation, even the signing of Gallup, that's what came to my mind. Big receivers that can win 50-50 balls. And Gardner Minshew has some athleticism. He has some playmaking ability beyond what they do in the play call in the huddle. But to your point, Luke Getsy has to be ready for what he has offensively, because we talked about it ad nauseum when we were at the draft. Had it not been for Brock Bowers' injury, he may have been the best offensive weapon in this draft. So he has a lot at his disposal. They did work on the defensive side. They have who I think is a top five defender in the NFL in Max Crosby. They signed Christian Wilkins. This team could sneak up on people if they're just thinking, well, going to the quarterback, and they don't really have that guy that they went after in the draft. This could be good for the Vegas Raiders as long as their offensive coordinator is better than he was in Chicago, to Hawk's point.
Swag, that defense allowed the fewest points in the NFL over the final 10 weeks last season, Dan.
Yeah, Dak Prescott and Justin Fields. Marcus, to your point, we think this team's got a chance to be a decent football team. Okay, 8-9, 9-8. They're not going to be drafting early. The two free agent quarterbacks that have a chance at least to be big time free agents next year are Dak Prescott and Justin Fields. Ooh. Gardner Minshew, I love this and that, but they need a dude. Those are the two names. You're not going to be high enough in the draft to be able to go get somebody up early. Dan, that's what I'm saying.
Dan, I would have tried to sneak a meeting with Dak people already.
100%.
I would have already, if I was the Vegas Raiders, I would have already tried to figure out where is my ends on the Dak Prescott sweepstakes.
Get ahead.
That's about to come up.
Get ahead.
If this deal doesn't get done in Dallas.
Correct. Man, that's exciting to think about. Not for Cowboys fans, but for Raiders fans and maybe for the AFC West. All right, there's a new fan favorite in Buffalo, the addition of wide receiver Keon Coleman. Hawk explains why he's the perfect fit in the new look Bills offense. That's next. You don't want to miss it. Buffalo fans, we got something good coming your way. We'll be right back. NFL Live right here on ESPN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
301 is Saturday night in Rio de Janeiro, highlighted by the flyweight title main event. The main card begins at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view, with the prelims at 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN Deportes. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Time now to read and react. New Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman was asked about his first conversation with Josh Allen.
He texted me, you know, the day of. I was like, you know, you the guy I wanted. I watched a lot of receivers, and, you know, I won't play with you. And I'm like, I've been saying the same thing. I want to go play with the guy that went number 17. And, you know, he's a great quarterback. I think he's one of the best in the league right now. And, you know, I would love to be catching passes from him. I'm ready for that.
Hawk, how do you like this new duo in Buffalo?
I love it. I do think it's a match made in heaven. When you look at what Keon Coleman brings to the table, he's an old school receiver, early 2000s number one, 6'4", 215 pounds. He's not going to wow you with the speed, but for someone like Josh Allen who loves to take chances, he's great at 50-50 balls. He has an incredible catch radius. He's physical through the point of attack. So Josh Allen is going to be able to put the ball in the air, and Coleman more times than not is going to come down with it.
Now to Philly, where A.J. Brown spoke earlier today about what his new extension with the Eagles means to him.
Nothing. Ain't nothing. I want to prove it, you know. Again, that is just a blessing, you know, I can say. But, you know, we don't play on paper, you know. And nobody cares what's in the bank account when you step between them lines.
Dan, what will it take for Brown and the Eagles to not have a repeat of last season?
Yeah, really, to make sure that AJ's getting enough, but not too much. I really believe, and we talked about it on this show, that it was the fine line of making sure that our number one guy is constantly getting his touches, but not force feeding him the football. And it crossed the line last year to a force feeding of the football for moments. And that kind of led to a little bit of the demise performance-wise and execution-wise for this offense. Kellen Moore, new offensive coordinator, really needs to make sure, yeah, we're getting our guy the football, but also diversifying the options when it comes to the balance of our touches.
To Detroit next, where the Lions recently went on a spending spree, extending Amon-Ra St. Brown and star tackle Penei Sewell. Sewell has bigger plans in mind for the Lions.
We need it all. And just like I had a conversation with Sate after we just found out that we were getting the contracts and going to sign it, that's our goal. It's to host that trophy at the end of the day and to just do that, just to win, bro. Like, it's nothing else to it. Like, all those individual accolades don't mean nothing. Like, I want the big boy, and I want it now.
Ooh, Marcus, can this Lions team take the next step, contend for the Super Bowl this year?
I believe they can. And let me say this real quick. I have a real deep disdain for offensive linemen, but I love Penei Sewell.
Yeah,
like,
man.
I want Penei Sewell to be a part of my family. But here's the thing. I think this team, one led by Dan Campbell, is not going to rest on the fact that they had success last year. I think this is where leadership matters. The general manager, Brad Holmes, invested in the guys that he brought and drafted, but also who's performed up into that level. And that reinvigorates guys, as Hawk and Dio knows, within the locker room to say, I can be the next one. That'll help this team when you look out for the guys that you bring into your organization. But more importantly, I think this boils down to Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn and this coaching staff, who I know very well, played with both of those guys. They will be motivated. There will not be a letdown. It'll be about performance and consistency, and obviously Jared Goff playing as well as he played last year as well. But I think this team is squarely in the hunt to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
I got to say, just being in Detroit for the draft, I want it for those fans.
No
doubt.
There's
some amazing people in a great city.
They were hot.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot more to talk about with Detroit, and we'll get to it soon, I promise. Up next, the Jets looking to bounce back from a disappointing 2023 season. Tell them, Dan. Hear why Dan also believes New York's offense can be a top three unit in the AFC with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. That's coming your way when we come back. NFL Live is brought to you by Lowe's. Let's tackle home together this year. Week 6 of the UFL kicks off Saturday as the Stallions and Showboats go head-to-head on ABC and ESPN Plus at noon Eastern. Then the Roughnecks square off against the Battlehawks on Fox. On Sunday, Fox has a doubleheader as the Renegades look for their first win against the Panthers at 1 Eastern, followed by the Brahmas and DC Defenders. Let's get some draft grades now, just a few days after the draft. We're going to continue to recap it. Mel Kiper Jr. gave all four AFC East teams a B. Look at that. The only division in the NFL that had the same grade for every team. The Jets made 7 picks in last week's draft, and there was a theme for Joe Douglas and company. New York's first 5 picks were offensive players for the first time in the common draft era, and that started with Penn State offensive tackle Olu Fashanu, 11th overall. Aaron Rodgers was asked on the Pat McAfee show during the draft, and he had this reaction to their first pick.
It wasn't necessarily top of the needs, but I know they really loved Olu, and he had an incredible career at Penn State. He's not going to need to jump in right away at tackle for sure. We'll see if we work him in a guard, but I think adding Olu to the mix to give us even more depth at the offensive line was a great pick by Joe, and we trust Joe, and excited about the season.
Didn't sound totally sold there on the first pick by the Jets. Dan, was this the right first-round pick for them in your mind?
100%. With Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, the number one thing they had was offensive line continuity and health. With Matthew Stafford last year and having the season he did with the Rams, the number one thing he had was offensive line continuity and health. That will be the number one thing for the Jets. Can this offensive line stay healthy? If this offensive line stays healthy and a player like Mike Williams, this is a top five offense in the AFC. The only offenses in the AFC that I think are clearly better are Miami, Cincinnati, if Joe Burrow stays healthy, obviously, Houston and Kansas City. Everyone else it would be if the Jets stayed healthy beneath the Jets. Aaron Rodgers comes back and looks like Aaron Rodgers. This offensive line is able to play together. Garrett takes that next step. Malachi Corley, their third-round pick out of Western Kentucky, goes and balls the way that his talent is capable of. You're talking about a top five offense in that conference.
Dan, I agree. It's really not much to say other than this team being healthy. And I want to see also, too, and I know the relationship has been built over time with Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers, but they haven't worked together in a while. So they're going to have to find a rhythm, especially with new players that Nathaniel Hackett has never coached, per se, with Aaron Rodgers being a quarterback. So there will probably be a few moments where we scream, what are you doing offensively? But I think it'll be them getting their feet under them more than something that we'll see linger as the season goes along. They work out the kinks and stay healthy. They should contend in the AFC.
Find Aaron Rodgers to win a Super Bowl, period. Now, I know Brock Bowers would have had way more headlines. It was the sexy picks, absolutely. But the reality is Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. You need to make sure your O-line has depth. They have one of the best tackles of our generation. He is going to help develop Olu, but at the same time, if he gets hurt, which he has routinely in recent years, they still have a floor for this team to be able to continue on, and that's what's most important for the New York Jets.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, you think about this, it's hard to imagine that we just really never even saw Aaron Rodgers do anything. I mean, aside from just like 4 seconds in the game, how much pressure is on Robert Saleh at this point, having to assemble this team? They've tried to make everything look good on paper, but they got to go out and win.
Everybody. It's not just Robert Saleh. Yeah. It is Joe Douglas, their general manager, who's really done a phenomenal job. Robert Saleh, who's led one of the best defenses in the NFL. The reality is this. If this team doesn't get to at least a divisional round of the playoffs, at least everybody's gone. And it's restart for everything, and it's a really colossal failure when it comes to the addition of a guy who's a future Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers. Bottom line.
And Dan, to your point, and Boogie as well, remember, Hawk just mentioned it. This timeline ain't long get this done.
Right.
Like, nobody's in wait-and-see mode. So when you start talking about pressure, you're talking about pressure in the next 10 calendar months of what we're about Christmas. To see from this football team. So, it's absolutely imperative that they have a tremendous amount of success. And to Hawk's point, probably be a representative in at least the AFC Championship for this to be worth all of the things that have taken place before they actually played football.
I mean, Dan, you try to wrap your head around this, and it's like Aaron Rodgers hasn't played in all this time. We're expecting him to just go ahead and go right in and be okay? Like,
Yeah, because that's what greats do. All-time greats are able to bounce back in ways that like normal humans can't.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know, man. It's hard to think about. All right, time for one more thing before we go. Wait, Hawk, get in here.
Come on, Hawkie.
Everything has already been said. You got to protect them. And they're going to do that with this pick.
The reality is this. They got to go through Mahomes.
Yeah,
they
gotta
that's go through
the
Mahomes.
Hard part.
He's the best going.
Speaking of him, we're going to talk about him having some fun last night as a guest on the WWE's Monday Night Raw. Mahomes loans out his ring as a secret weapon for Logan Paul.
Which one?
I think it was three. Hey, you know what? Good question. I would assume
that's
the most
wrong.
Recent one.
Look at that. Look how big that human being is. Look how big he is in comparison to Creed and Trey.
Wait. Oh, my goodness.
Laura.
What?
Oh, look at you guys.
Look, it's me and him. Okay, you know what? I actually feel really good about myself today. This was my whole plan all along. It wasn't just an accident that I missed a sleeve. I'm basically Mahomes.
Can you follow the pose? Can you replicate the pose?
I need to see it again. I sort of just look like I'm welcoming in.
Boogie, you been in the weight room?
Yeah, I was going to say that left bicep looked better than mine.
No, but my baby is really heavy, man, so I just carry him around all day, and it's gives me some tone.
Look at chisel, girl.
Stop
look
it.
Look at chisel.
For the record, she's not talking about
you guys.
But no. Flex right quick.
Yeah.
Flex right quick, Boogie.
Let me get a shot on the bicep.
There it is.
It's off camera.
There it is.
Hey, go like
why
this.
Why am I going like that?
Which way is the beach? Which way is the beach?
She turned it.
That way.
She turned it.
Why did I do that? I don't even know how to flex. I don't know how to flex. I really don't. As we just learned, the great thing is we get to do this tomorrow on NFL Live once again. We thank you as always for being with us.
Hit him one more time. Flex on him.
It's really the try.
Y'all get in the way, bro.
Kicked in the face with a dog.
I can't.